Where'd you go, notes? All right. Continue on spiritual gifts. What is that? All right. We began this topic last week and learned. We started actually in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. You don't have to turn there. But in 1 Corinthians 12, 1, it says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant." We noted that this is something that God, Paul, wanted believers in Christ to be educated about. All right. We also learned from 1 Peter 4:10, we are told that each one has received the gift and we are told to minister it to one another. We are to be good stewards. In fact, it says, as each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. So not only are we supposed to be educated about these spiritual gifts, but we are also told that we're supposed to use them. We're supposed to discover what our gifts are and actually exercise them. God has been very gracious and good to us, but he wants to use us now and therefore should be used of him in the church, in the world, and spiritual gifts is one of the ways that we can. Spiritual gift, again, is a divine enablement to excel at a spiritual activity. We noted that they are different from talents. These are Christian superpowers, so to speak. And God wants to exercise his power through us, and he can do so through these. So we've looked at these gifts of authentication. We've noted that they were specifically given. In fact, they're called sign gifts in Scripture, and they were given for evidence of God's new revelation to man. Well, tonight we're going to move on to the second category, and we're going to look at these gifts of preparation. Gifts of preparation. These are spiritual gifts given to some believers for the equipping of other believers. These are spiritual gifts given to some believers for the equipping of other believers. And with that, let's go ahead and turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. I told you that there are three main passages in Scripture that kind of list out these spiritual gifts. 1 Corinthians 12, 1 through 11 was the first one. We kind of touched on that last week. Ephesians 4, 11 and 12 is another one. And then Romans 12 also has a bit of a list there. So those are three main passages. But in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 and 12 say this. It says, and he himself, it's actually speaking of Jesus here, it says, and he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. These spiritual gifts that are given by the Holy Spirit to some believers are given for the equipping of other believers so that everybody can play a part and edify it and build up the church in some way. In fact, that is the very theme of this series that we've been going through since October. Equipped to edify. Equipped to edify. Now, this particular passage here in Ephesians is actually speaking more about the fact that Jesus places believers with these gifts in a specific church location, in specific church local bodies. In other words, those that are gifted in any of these areas that we're going to look at under this category of gifts of preparation, these are people that are gifted by the Holy Spirit with these abilities, but then Christ places them in a local body to equip the believers there. In other words, those that are gifted in any of these areas by the Holy Spirit, well, I just said that, will be placed by Jesus. Okay. The first one is prophesying. The first gift we're going to look at in this category is prophesying. Now, we looked at the gift of prophecy last week. And what was that? What was the gift of prophecy? Jeff? Okay, foretelling the future or giving new revelation from God. All right? So that was the gift of prophecy. Prophesying, simply put, is the supernatural ability to proclaim God's word. All right? We looked at the foretelling aspect last week. Well, this is the forthtelling aspect. It's the supernatural ability to proclaim God's word. You don't have to turn there, but 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 says, "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. And we are all given the task of proclaiming God's word. But those with that gift of prophecy are oftentimes great quoters of the Bible. They have a special ability to retain scripture in their hearts and their minds and then proclaim it readily in an edifying, perhaps convicting, and certainly a preparing manner. I have known believers that seem to have the whole Bible memorized. Have you ever known someone like that? All right, maybe you're like that. I don't know, but that potentially is the gift of prophecy. They have that special ability to retain scripture in their hearts and minds and then proclaim it at will at profound times, okay? They can quote scripture fluidly, abundantly, and at very appropriate times. Their ability to recall and proclaim God's word, I think, is beyond the norm. I have quite a few passages of scripture memorized, but those with the gift of prophecy put me to shame with their retention and proclamation of God's word. Do you have that ability? Do you find it easy, perhaps, to recall and speak scripture at appropriate times? Well, you might have the gift of prophecy then. Just out of curiosity, anyone here think that might be a gift that they have? Okay, all right. Well, you're in good company. I don't think I've got it either. The gift of prophecy is the supernatural ability to proclaim God's word. The next one we're going to look at is the gift of evangelizing. The gift of evangelizing. And I'll put a slash there and include apostleship. But here's what it is. It's the supernatural ability to declare the gospel. It's the supernatural ability to declare the gospel. Now the office of apostle is very specific. It's very specific to those who saw the risen Lord Jesus and were moved then by the Holy Spirit to record God's word in the New Testament. Only those men as listed in the New Testament hold the office of apostle. But the word apostle really simply means a messenger, all right, and a declarer of the gospel. The Holy Spirit has gifted some to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with others. Again, it's one of those things where every single one of us has been given the task to do so. In fact, in Matthew 16:15, Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That's a commission given to his immediate disciples and all disciples. In 2 Timothy 4:5, Paul tells Timothy, be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. So we are all given that task to do it, but the Holy Spirit has gifted some believers to be really a model of what that looks like. They can share the gospel in such a way that it is seemingly natural, concise, clear, very understandable. And because of that, they can easily prepare other believers in how to effectively share the gospel as well. The main way I have kind of, I won't call it a formula or a method or format, but I do have a pattern that I follow, that I typically follow when I share the gospel. And it's the exact same pattern that my evangelism professor at Bible college used. The professor I had at Bible college for evangelism is probably one of the most gifted evangelists I've ever met. He actually taught several classes at that college, and he taught them all well. But what was funny is, regardless of what class he was teaching, they all had an evangelistic twist to it. Every single one of them, because that is what he gravitated to. That is how he was gifted. Is that you? Is that you? Are you burdened to share the gospel? Do you find yourself rather effective at it? And know that agreeing that is you, it's not boasting, because it's a spiritual gift. It's God working through you to do it. But one way to identify if that is your gifting is if you are recognizing, you know, I think I'm pretty effective at this. I think people are coming to the Lord as a result of the things that I'm saying. Anyone here think they might have the gift of evangelism? Okay, a couple of you. All right. Yep, and that one, it's pretty rare to even have a small group where I think there isn't at least one person in that group that has that gift, for obvious reasons. All right, anyway, that's the gift of evangelizing and perhaps apostleship. It's the supernatural ability to proclaim the gospel. The next one is pastor, and I'm going to put /leadership. Pastor/leader. This is the supernatural ability to be in front and show the way. It's the supernatural ability to be in front and show the way. Now, there is no doubt that one of the pastor's duties is teaching, okay, as is evangelism. And some students of the Bible do like to lump pastor and teacher together. And I get it. I understand why. However, I have known pastors that were really great leaders, and people were affectionately following their leadership, but they really weren't that great a teacher. They really weren't that great at expounding the Word of God. And then vice versa. Okay, I've known pastors that were great teachers, okay, but really didn't have the gift of being out in front. And when I say pastors that were teachers, I'm talking about people that are in the position of pastor, and they were better at teaching than they were at being a shepherd, okay? We're all required to do these things, to lead others. But those that are gifted in this area, they're just very easy to follow. They are servant leaders. In fact, the word pastors found in Scripture refers to a shepherd of the sheep. It's one who doesn't drive the sheep, all right? It's not about making the sheep do what he wants them to do. It's about leading by example. It's about being out in front and doing what God wants us to do and people naturally follow. 1 Peter 5:2 says, "Shepherd the flock of God which is among you." And I'm referencing that mostly because he's talking about pastors here, but he uses the word shepherd. "Serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly. Not for dishonest gain, but eagerly." Is that you? Are you burdened to be a servant leader? A servant example? Do others find it easy or maybe even pleasurable to follow your lead? Anyone here think that might be their gifting? Okay, Roger. And here's something about that gift too. It can be, the gifting of pastor leadership can be separate from the office of pastor. My point being here is Scripture communicates some rather detailed information concerning pastors of local churches. But one thing that's interesting about the gift is one who has the gift of shepherding or pastoring may not become the pastor of a local church. They may be the pastor of a family. They might be the pastor shepherd of a small group, of a woman's group, of a children's group. So we're talking about the gift here, but those with the gift of pastor leadership, that's the supernatural ability to be in front and show the way. The next one is teaching. The spiritual gift of teaching. This gift is the supernatural ability to communicate biblical knowledge. It's the supernatural ability to communicate biblical knowledge. Teaching in general, obviously, has the goal of others learning, right? Well, those with this spiritual gift of teaching, similar to those with the gift of evangelism, are burdened and able to communicate Bible truths in a very understandable and applicable way. They can expound upon the teaching and experience of God's Word in a way that really prepares other believers to live God-honoring lives. This is one of those areas in which God really has placed here at River Valley Bible Church a number of people with that gift of teaching. We have a lot of good teachers here in this fellowship. A lot of men and women that are really gifted teachers. In 2 Timothy 2, 1 and 2, it says, "You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things you've heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." Now, of course, this is something that all of us are called to do. But there are those that have that supernatural ability to do that, to duplicate their efforts to teach. If you really enjoy the study of God's Word, if you really enjoy explaining what you have learned from God's Word to others, if others have expressed to you the fact that they can easily learn from you, you may have the gift of teaching. Anyone here think they might have that gift? Okay, a couple of you do, all right? And that's actually where I think God has gifted me. But one thing connected to that, no, one thing disconnected from that, I want you to know that comfort in public speaking is not a prerequisite to the gift of teaching. All right. In fact, I don't like public speaking. I have never liked it. I get nervous to this day every time I have to do it. And I've known other pastors and teachers that have been the same. So for me, it is perhaps the strongest confirmation that God has gifted me in this is because I can't say I don't like it because I really do. I really, really love doing it. You guys just scare me to death. That's all. Okay? Fair? Teaching is the supernatural ability to communicate biblical knowledge. And then the last spiritual gift in this category of preparation is administrating. Administrating. Administrating is the supernatural ability to govern God's resources. And a lot of these definitions I'm giving you are perhaps oversimplified, but they are, I think they give you a good basis for what the gift is. But administrating is the supernatural ability to govern God's resources. Those with this gift are able to guide and direct to a goal. If you want to get there from here, okay, this is what we need to do, and this is what we need to in order to do it, all right? And a person like that is typically good at organizing the resources, putting them in place, and making it happen. This is a person that can envision the big picture and can, again, organize everything that needs to happen to get there. The word administration, or as it's used in Scripture, actually speaks of somebody who steers a ship. All right, he knows exactly what he needs to do to get to that goal. They see the goal, they know how to get there from here. If you are a visionary, if you can come up with really good ideas, and it's not just about coming up with the ideas, but having great ideas and then also have the ability to organize and implement them, you might have the gift of administration. Some of the largest and most impactful ministries happen because God gifted people with administration. I mean, I can come up with a pretty fair idea from time to time, all right? But where I have difficulty is knowing what to do next. You know, I don't think I've got that gift of administrating. I'm good at setting goals and in some cases really good at achieving goals. But I've never been that big picture kind of guy. So I'm thankful for people that do have that gift. Anyone here think they might have the gift of administration? All right, a couple of you. All right, these are spiritual gifts given to some believers for the equipping of others. That's the gifts of preparation. Next, let's move on into the gifts of stimulation. These are gifts that actually motivate others to do something, all right? But let's turn to our last passage as we begin this one. Romans chapter 12. And a lot of these that I'm listing here, of course, are in the list in 1 Corinthians. But in Romans chapter 12, we haven't read this passage yet, so we'll read it, and a number of them are listed here. Romans 12, beginning in verse 4. It says, "For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in ministering. He who teaches in teaching. He who exhorts in exhortation. He who gives with liberality. He who leads with diligence. He who shows mercy with cheerfulness." And we'll stop there. We do have a few of them in this next section found in that passage. But the gifts of stimulation, these are spiritual gifts given to some believers for the encouragement of other believers. These are spiritual gifts given to some believers for the encouragement of other believers. Now, certainly the gift of teaching can fall under this category as well, but where the gifts of preparation are designed to equip other believers for the work of ministry, these gifts of stimulation are designed to motivate them, to encourage people to actually live a godly life. All right? And so God has given some believers these gifts. The first one is discernment. The gift of discernment. This is the supernatural ability to distinguish right from wrong. It is the supernatural ability to distinguish right from wrong. Now, obviously, anyone can know right from wrong. We are all told to distinguish, discern right from wrong. And we can do so even by the guidance of the Holy Spirit. We can do so by our conscience to a degree. And we certainly can do it through looking into the Scriptures and taking note of God's character, His nature, His standards. But this gift is a gift of God, and it's the ability to readily judge between right and wrong, what is godly, what is sinful, what is true, what is false. It might even include the ability to discern people as to whether they are sincere or trustworthy. I've known a few people. In fact, I think I've got this gift as well, at least to a degree. But I've known people that have been really, really good at it. Okay, really gifted in that area. They can discern though the truth from error. They can discern right from wrong. They can discern godly people from ungodly people. It's really the ability to see through the facade. Hebrews 5:14 says, "But solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." And we're all called to do that. But some people are spiritually gifted to do it, supernaturally gifted to do it. 1 John 4:1, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world." We're all called to do that, but there are those that are supernaturally empowered to do it. False teachings and teachers can be very deceptive. They can be very persuasive. But one with the gift of discernment can often see right through it. right through it. If Ray Flerke were here tonight, he'd have his hand up on this one. He is really good at discerning people. Okay, really good at discerning people. Anybody else think they might have the gift of discernment? Okay, all right. Couple of you. All right. All right, the next one, and I think the last one we're going to look at tonight, is the gift of exhortation. The gift of exhortation. This is the supernatural ability to encourage people to live holy lives. The supernatural ability to encourage people to live holy lives. These really, those with this gift, and I'm going to be interested to see when I ask for a raise of hands, but kind of like with evangelism, kind of a more common one, I think this one is one that is, well, I know it's really common here at River Valley Bible Church because I've experienced it from many of you. But exhortation, again, it's a supernatural ability to encourage people to live holy lives, to build them up. 1 Thessalonians 4:1 says, "Finally then, brethren, we urge and exhort in the Lord Jesus that you should abound more and more, just as you receive from us how you ought to walk and to please God." So here, Paul is encouraging the church of Thessalonica to do that. We're to encourage one another, but there are those that are gifted in that area. Rick?
That was 1 Thessalonians
4:1. Yes. 1 Thessalonians 4:1, and then here's another 1 Thessalonians passage, 5:14. 1 Thessalonians 5:14, "Now we exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly, comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak, be patient with all." And again, we're all called to do that. But there are those that are really supernaturally empowered to do that. Have you met somebody who's just really, really good at dispelling unruliness, conflicts, okay? All right, John's pointing to Brooke. Brooke didn't know it, but yeah, just they're kind of the peacemakers. There's a professor up at Frontier School of the Bible, Charlie Hornick. He has got this gift in greater quantities than and qualities than I've ever met. He could tell you that your whole family just died and you'd feel all right about it right after he was done. I mean, he just has a way, his way about him, his comforting speech is incredible. And he's also one that can, he's a peacemaker. If there's a conflict, he can get in the middle of it and it just calms down. It is supernatural to watch it. All right. Anyway, these are those they can, suppress the conflict or calm the conflict, comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak, and patient with all. It actually speaks that word exhortation, like the word encouragement, speaks of one who comes right alongside. He's right there with you. I'm there with you through this. That's that kind of person. It includes the correction at times. They always seem to have the right words to say. They spur people on to spiritual maturity. Anyone here think they might have that gift? All right. All right. A few more hands went up on that one. Yeah, I think there are quite a few people here that have that gift. At least it's been exercised toward me. So I'm very grateful for people that are gifted in that area. All right. We have a few minutes for questions, comments, anything at all. No questions. All right. All right. Well, we will continue on next week and we'll pick it up with the gift of faith. And then that is an interesting, that's one I think is probably more common as well, because those that have the gift of faith oftentimes are rather unnoticed. They're kind of the prayer warriors behind the scenes, so to speak. But they're probably the power behind everything else that happens. No questions? All right, go ahead, Richard.
The game concludes next week, correct?
The game concludes next week, and there is only a 1 point difference. 1 point difference, and I will probably have I had 7 questions today. I'll probably have close to that many next week. And then, of course, the following week, we'll just have a quick 20-minute lesson, and then we'll eat. Anything else? All right. Father, thank you for tonight. We do thank you for your use of us. We thank you for these supernatural abilities in that we can be used, but especially, Lord, in supernatural ways. Thank you for that, because it is only through your power that we can make a difference in this world. It is in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.